This month, we're going to be sharing with you, Pastor Jeff and myself, sections of the New Testament, talking about the story of nativity, of Jesus, and people who were somehow connected to this very important part of our history. Amen? As Christians, we look back and we say, thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to come and you were willing to live among us. Not only live among us, but also die for us. And this is at the core of our message. Jesus, his name is power, we sing. Amen? His name is might. And Willis family, thank you very much for special music. And I would like to tie what you just sang with the introduction of my sermon this morning. Telling the story of a man named Joseph and Mary, his wife. Were they in any way well known, you think, in the city of Nazareth? Influential? They had the big business downtown of Nazareth? No, that's not the story. The story is that they were probably not well known. In fact, they were not from Nazareth. They were from Bethlehem. And coming from a different city, nobody really knew who they were. And Joseph had a good trade. He was a carpenter. And he did it well. And so people came to him and said, hey, we need some furniture for our home. And that was the way he provided for the family. Mary, a teenage mom. Wow. Having to take care of the household. Having to take care of a baby. And she and Joseph made this trip, we know, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And they did it in a fancy big horse. Or what did they use? A donkey. And I'm sure, I don't think I've ever ridden a donkey. The closest I've come to is a mule. But donkey are a lot smaller than mules. And I can see Joseph probably having to walk the whole way down to Bethlehem. And Mary was probably there some of the time, and she walked another part of the time. Not very comfortable. You can't put much on donkeys. And so their little belongings, they brought along this trip to Bethlehem because they needed to go there and be part of a census. They had to register. And when they got to Bethlehem, were there people waiting for them? Not at all. In fact, they had to find a manger. And that is where our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born. Does that sound a little bit like your story, brothers and sisters? I asked my dad, Dad, where were you born? And my dad would look at me and he said, maybe you won't understand, but I was born at home. How many of you were born at home and not in a hospital? I see a few hands, okay, at home. It doesn't happen much here in the United States, but in the rest of the world, it's very common. You're born at home. And imagine, my dad had 7 siblings at home. My grandparents in Cuba, they had their children at home. So Jesus had a similar experience to many of the people around this world. But why would he choose them? Why would he choose Mary and Joseph? Well, what did they have that others did not? And I want to study with you this morning a concept. And they had one thing that everybody can give, and they had love. Amen? That's what a child needs, love. And they had lots of love for their newborn child. But another thing that they had was a name. They were willing to give their name to this child. How did you get your name? If I asked, I would find many, many answers. I was today, this morning, thinking about my wife, Carolina. I said, how did she get her name? Carolina. And I know she has an aunt with the same name. So I'm thinking mom probably said, you know, I'm going to name you after my sister. Samuel, my name. Guess what my dad's name is? Samuel, yes. And my sister's name is Rachel. And my mom's name is Raquel, but almost Rachel. It was Raquel and Raquel. And my sister said, I'm going to change it to Rachel. Names. Are they important to us? That's the way we know each other, right? We say a name. If I say Gunter Koch, for those of us who know him, we paint a picture in our mind. And we all of a sudden go back to experiences we've had with that name. As I was studying this, I thought of my own family. And something that I learned several years ago when I was investigating who my family was. And I went back. I went back to my dad, mom, okay. Went back to my grandparents, Miguel Núñez Gallegos. And my grandma's name was Dionisia Antonio Núñez. So I was like, whoa, are my grandparents related? Because they have Núñez and Núñez. And we don't know. But they came from the same area in Oaxaca, the state of Oaxaca, Mexico. And then I asked my dad, what about your grandparents? Do you remember them? And my dad said, no. I said, how come, Dad? He says, well, my grandmother died when my father was 15 years old. How about your grandfather, Dad? He says, my father never knew who his father was. So that made me a little curious. And I said, well, where does the last name Núñez come from? Because in Mexico and some Spanish countries, you carry both names. And so my grandfather was Núñez Gallegos. You carry both of them. And mom's last name was Gallegos. And my dad told me somebody gave him that name. A person that we don't know, maybe a neighbor, said, your name is going to be Núñez Gallegos. They gave him a name. Names are important. And we go to Scripture and we find out in Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And good favor or loving favor rather than silver and gold. Amen? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And I thought of this and I said, yes, a good name is important. How many of you have heard of the name Capone? You know, like Al Capone. You probably didn't want to have that last name in the 30s, 40s, and maybe even today. You know, it's not a good name to have. Or the name Madoff. Wow. That's a hard name to carry. Just because of what Bernie Madoff did to so many people, how he affected the lives of, I would say, millions of people that trusted him. And so we understand that, yes, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and good favor rather than silver and gold. How many of us like to be esteemed? Love by people. We all do. And we might hear a name like Colgate. Would you ever like to meet a family member of the Colgate? I would. I say, hey, you know what? I use your toothpaste. Yes, you know, it'd be kind of neat. Or another one, Wrigley's, you know, for what? Gum, chewing gum. And they are, that's a family name. And those, that's a good name. And we hear the names of like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and we automatically connect with who? Computers and gadgets. And we say, hey, you know, we would like to meet members of that family. We esteem them for the good things, for the positive things that they brought. And Mary and Joseph gave Jesus a name. You see, Joseph's name was Joseph, son of David. And if we go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, I invite you to open your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Here, Matthew tells us that Jesus Christ was not only the son of Joseph, but he was the son of David and the son of Abraham. Why is this important, brothers and sisters? Those who were here for Sabbath school, why is it important that Jesus was the son of David and the son of Abraham? Because he was the son of what? The promise. He was the promised one, the Messiah, that God had foretold to David and to Abraham. And sometimes we might wish that he would have just stopped right there, right? Don't continue, Matthew. The other names are a little embarrassing. You have Isaac. I think he did pretty good, right? Isaac, he behaved. But how about Jacob? Did he behave? No, he didn't. And then we see Judas, and then Phares, and Sarah. And these were sons of who? Tamar. Now, was Tamar a Jewish lady or a Gentile? A Gentile. Verse 4. And Aaron begat Aminadab. And Aminadab begat Nahson. And Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of who? Rahab. Was Rahab a Jewish lady? No, she was a Gentile. In fact, she was known for not having a very good job. Mercy, yes. And Boaz begat Obed of who? Of Ruth. Was Ruth a Jewish lady? What was she? A Moabite. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of who? Uriah. And then you really say, stop, don't tell me anymore. This is getting too bad, and just leave it at that. But at the end of this list, we find Jesus Christ. Amen? We find his name, a name above all names. And if we go to the Gospel of Luke, we find the reverse. It starts with Jacob as a father, and it just goes down the list. And at the end, it says, Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? That was Jesus. Matthew wanted to make that point. He is the promised one. And it doesn't matter how the history there looks like and you go, wow, what happened here? Can God make a difference in people's lives, brothers and sisters? And he made a difference in each one of these people. In fact, one of the names there is Manasseh. Does anybody know the story of King Manasseh? Was he a good king or a wicked king? A wicked king. Did he repent? He repented. He repented. God used him mightily. If we continue reading verse 18. the same Gospel of Matthew. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The name of Jesus, according to Matthew 1:23, is related to Emmanuel. God is with us. The name Jesus, according to Matthew 12:21, is related to a name we can trust. Luke 1:32 tells us that his name will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. In Luke 1:35, it tells us that he shall be called the Son of God. Luke 24:47 tells us in his name will be preached for the repentance and remission of sins among all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. In his name, the sons of God are all those who believe in his name. John 20:21 tells us in his name we have life. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells us we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through his name. 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us in the name of Jesus, we can be united. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 tells us in the name of Jesus, we are washed, sanctified, and justified. A name, the name of Jesus, can transform, heal, and give hope and salvation. Amen? A name. Mary and Joseph could give Jesus a name. He would be known as Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of God. I have a friend who shared this story with me. He had a barber. And his barber was from Scotland. And in Scotland, he had played soccer for the national team. When he came to the United States, he wanted to do a career in soccer, but guess what? We don't play here. Until recently, soccer. Back then when he came, they weren't playing soccer very much. But he came and that didn't work, so he was very good with his hands, was very good at cutting hair, and he had many, many clients. One day he decided he was going to receive, he wanted to become a U.S. citizen. He said, you know, I've been living here for many, many years, and I want to be part of this great nation. I want to be part of this country. So I'm going to start the process. He filled out the documents. He filled out the paperwork. And they called his name and told him, you need to study these questions, because we're going to ask you about the history of the United States. We're going to ask you about things that you should know about our country. And so you need to study these questions. And he started to study. In those days, you would invite also somebody to come with you, and they would be a witness that you were a good citizen. And so this barber, and I'm going to give you his name. His name is Kenny Allen. Kenny Allen said, I'm going to take two of my clients so that they will testify that I am a good citizen. The date came. He went to the immigration office, and the immigration officer was there to ask him the questions. And the immigration officer looked at his friends. and looked back at Kenny Allen. And he said, Kenny Allen, who is the current president of the United States of America? And Kenny Allen looked to his side at one of his friends, and he said, it's that man right there, Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon waved. And his other friend that had come was John Wayne to testify for this Kenny Allen. You and I might not have friends like that. But we have a bigger friend. Amen? A better name. The name of Jesus. 1 John 3, 1 tells us, behold what manner of love the Father, that we should be called sons and daughters of God. Yes, we have the name of Jesus. And he's willing to help us in any situation. He's willing to send his Holy Spirit to be with us and to help us through family, financial, or work-related problems. Amen? Jesus, the most powerful name, was given to our Lord and Savior. And he has promised to be by our side all the way till the end. Amen?
Amen?
Looking at my family, I was just thinking of genealogies, and my mom's side of the family, farmers. Great-grandfather, farmer. Great-great-grandfather, farmer on the Cuban side. And I dig, and I asked my grandfather, grandmother, how were your parents? They were neat. How about your grandparents? Did you know them? He said, yes, I did know them. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. And I go, what is it, Grandpa? He says, your great-grandfather, my grandfather, he was living in Cuba during the Cuban Civil War. And I said, so on whose side did he fight? And I said, he didn't fight. He didn't want to fight. And how was that? Well, they came to recruit him. And they said, Ramiro. And I said, Labrador. That's his last name. You got to come out. You got to fight. And he said, I'm not coming out. You want to come? You got to come get me. And I said, what happened, Grandpa? He said, my grandfather, he took a machete. And I won't tell you the rest of the story. Yes! A machete is a little knife this big. He said, I'm not going. And man who went in there, he did not come out. He did not come out. And I go, Grandpa, that was your grandfather? He says, that was your great-grandfather, too. Say, oh, boy. But the name of Jesus has brought transformation in the family. Amen?
Amen?
And it's brought hope and salvation to humanity. It's this name that we have the privilege of sharing to a world in need. Amen? It's a name that we don't only have to say, we can think about it, and it has power to change things. Amen? It's a name that we can say in those deep, dark moments. And God sends his Holy Spirit to give us peace, to give us wisdom, to help us in that very moment of need. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 tell us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that very tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. Amen?
Amen?
It's our privilege to share this name. the name of Jesus, a name that transforms, a name that changes, a name that gives us hope. Amen.